continue on, down the lines we've been ministering on. But the Holy Spirit just arrested me, and I titled a sermon one time, many sermons on fear, but fear has to go, you know. And I mean, we are coming to the place. I don't fear anything. And I'm not saying that in a fleshly manner of pride and all of that, you know, because I've let the Lord crucify Scotty. I've crucified. The Bible says that we've been crucified with Christ. And so we got to start establishing the things of the kingdom of God in our hearts and minds after we're born again, until we don't think defeat. We don't think, you know, there's no way that God, I mean, we just don't have that kind of concept. And I mean, it is doable. I mean, I've reached a certain point, praise God. And, you know, I mean, men, Teresa, there's not a whole lot that Christians can bring to the plate in mine, Teresa's walk with the Lord that we've not faced. I've not seen too many things brought to my plate before me that I hadn't faced and conquered. Somebody says, I can't go to church. I don't believe it. You believed a lie. You got a fight there, you know. And when you conquer fear, because fear has to be conquered. You know, God hadn't given us a spirit of fear, you know, timidity. Fear means cowardness. Quit. Give up. Back up. Don't fight. Don't go forward. That's fear. Fear has a lot of meaning in it, you know. And God hadn't given us that. He gave us power, love, and a sound mind. When affliction attacks me, I go to church. I'm not afraid of spreading it to you. You better have your shield out. I need y'all to help me get rid of it. We're going to change the church back to the way that it used to be when you saw healing and restoration and people falling out in the Spirit. And I mean, they come to church and they leave blessed. Hallelujah. I'm not going to cow to it. As a leader of my house, as the leader of my family, outside the church, I'm not going to cow down to whatever comes down the pipeline. I'm going to stand and I'm going to go forward. Why? Because God hadn't given me a coward spirit. God hadn't given the body of Christ a coward spirit. Scared of sickness, scared of disease, scared of not making it, scared of your kids not. That's what happened to Job. He took on the care of his kids and the thing that he feared came on him. I mean, he sacrificed for them in case they were sinning. I mean, he took the care of that on. That was a very good Sunday school lesson, praise God, this morning. You know, and I thought, how am I going to top that? How am I going to top that, you know? I mean, she broke it down to where, I mean, there's no way you can't learn, you can't apply this stuff. It's just so simple and walked it out. We were talking about going to church. Teresa, she wanted to go to work, you know, and back yonder 25, 27 years ago, Walmart, want to go make her own money, get this independent. Nothing wrong with that. And so she's going to work night shift or whatever. And I'd already win and I'd already conquered I'm going to church in my heart, in my mind. And I'd already been brought to me at my workplace causing me to miss church. And so I told God, I said, I'm not a quitter anymore, because I used to quit the job. I'd find me nothing. I'd, you know, whatever. And so I'd made up my mind, I'm not a quitter. And so then I started facing this just church. You know, and I thought, oh man, if I make this demand, I mean, I'm liable to lose my job this time, and I ought to be praising God for that, but I don't want to lose my job. You still want them to fire me. Fire me! Well, what was that? Fear. It was fear. And I thought, well, God hadn't given me a spirit of cowardness. But God, it's God's will. It's God's will I go to church on Wednesday. My church has church on Wednesday. It's God's will. I'm just talking about my personal conviction, you know, and everything. And so I went to my boss. And I told him, I said, I'm not looking for a reason to quit like I have before. I'm saved. I'm you know, but I'm going to church on Wednesday night. If I have to quit my job, I will go to church. And he just looking at me like, I can't even believe you're telling me this. I mean, this is the man, you didn't stand in front of him and tell him stuff like that before I got saved. But how many knows the Bible says that the righteous are as bold as a lion? I don't see lions running from their prey. I mean, they are fierce beings in the natural. I don't want to go fight one. No, sir, I don't want no lion in my backyard. Never. He refers to us that, I mean, to give us a picture of what the righteous become. Bold. Not arrogant, not prideful, not braggadocious, but bold. Bold against the things that comes against us that tries to get us not to do the will. Bold. Strong. Hallelujah. And the thing about it is, when we do it, God backs us up. God brings His anointing. God, see, it that's why He said, it's not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. It's not by our strength and our wisdom and our arrogance. No, we're going to do the will of God. You heard it, and I believe it. My wife cannot leave me because I gave her to the Lord, and the Bible says that He's able to keep that which me and you commit to Him, and He is not a liar. I mean, I wish I could explain that deeper than what I just did. That's the best words I got. I mean, God is faithful. God is all-knowing. God is all-powerful. And God has given us His nature and His ability in our lives to work in the natural realm. Well, you know what my boss did? But God, he hired somebody on Wednesday. And I was out of there at 5:00. I never missed another Wednesday night service. But you know why I'm telling you that? I mean, I left and I'm like, glory to God! This thing really works. It began to show me that if God be for me, who can be against me? That I didn't have to have a bad outcome in the natural realm to obey God, because He works all things together for the good to those that are called according to His purpose. And so I thought, God didn't give me a spirit of fear. I mean, I'm a baby. I know Christians that have been in there a long time, and for whatever their reasons are, they're afraid of storms. Are you kidding me? We speak to storms. We speak to storms, right? We got it out of the Bible. When hurricane starts out yonder, I tell it out yonder in the Gulf, from my house to the Gulf. I tell it, you are not going to bring destruction to my house, to my stuff. And God, help all of those Christians that it's in the wake of. God, help them to demand that thing, that you are not going to bring destruction. How many knows He can protect you? He can protect your stuff. No fear. No fear. You got to get fear out of your life. Fear paralyzes. You know, I mean, just like with Teresa, it was trying to destroy her with Travis. I'm praying for her, and I'm like, bless God, I'll just go out there and tell him to move, and we won't have to see him. He's a married man now. Look, God, he's going to get off. You know, but the Lord wasn't telling me to do that because it wasn't bothering me. I'm like, hey, you want to go down? You will go down and you will be like the prodigal son. The Bible is very clear. I've give you your lot. God's give you his strength, his power, and all of that. And I thought, I shall not be moved. I'm like a tree planted by the waters. And then I thought, glory to God, the way of the transgressor gets hard. I know what the Bible says. And I'm like, oh, well, you know, just keep on pedaling uphill. Just keep on pedaling and pedaling. Before you know it, praise God, well, this has been a long, long time ago, but I'm just saying, me and Teresa walked that out. And it will touch you. You know, in your emotions, if you let it. We're emotional people, and God, we're like God. You know, God's emotional. He's got emotions and all of that stuff. He's moved by the feeling of our infirmities, the Bible says, you know. But he ain't up there biting his fingernails. I mean, God's not moved. God is not shocked. God is not caught off guard. God is not, and God wants me and you to be like him. He wants us to be like him, cool and collective, thinking straight, just like Teresa brought out, you know, I mean sound-minded, not double-minded. See, I took the scriptures literally to myself and James years and years ago, and I'm still working on it, Johnny. I'm not up here telling y'all I'm perfect and I don't make no mistakes and I'm not growing and all that. I just sang it to him, pour it out on me, Lord. Light of fire, I want more of you and more of you and more of you. You know, but I took it over there and James, he said, a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. And I thought, oh my God. That's why I've been unstable my whole life. I've just been double-minded. And then it goes on and it says, let not that man that's double-minded think that he'll receive anything from the Lord. You know, and I thought, oh my God, man, I mean, how do I not be double-minded, God? See, double-minded means somebody got two heads. That means 1 minute God's good, the next minute when things ain't going good, he's not good. That's double-minded. I mean, when all the bills are paid and you ain't having to believe God and sow seeds and all of that, I mean, you're single-minded. Ooh, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, yes, Lord. And then here comes an unexpected light bill of $350 more a month and you lost your salvation nearly. See, the Bible says endure hardship. Endure. I told Teresa she was saying something yesterday about a light that she's had for 4 years that I hadn't put up. 8 months.
Well.
She's wanting that floodlight put up. 8 months ago, I thought it was 4 years. I thought I was doing good. I told her, I said, well, you've made it for 17 years here without it. Bless God, we've been here 17 years, and it was like 2:30, and I looked at her, and I said, it ain't like, you know, it ain't fixing to get dark and start raining. It's only 2:30. It was 17 years, baby. Yeah. Well, endurance means that we don't change with whatever happens. You know, endurance means you are the same. I mean, you go in faith concerning your kids and you come out in victory. You come out in faith. And you don't look at all the things in between, what it could be and all that. That's fear. Fear that gives place to fear. And fear talks to you. Oh, she's going to leave me. She's going to look. But I'm telling you, when I give her to God, faith entered in. And I'm telling you, I've felt like now for almost she can't leave. She leaves, she'll come back. Somebody gets her, glory to God, they will pay me to take her back. They just don't know what they're doing. You know? They ain't got the grace I've got to put up with her. I don't mean that in a bad way. I mean, she's a strong woman, strong-willed woman. That got her in trouble a lot and all that. And I mean, going to have it her way. She's like a mama. And her granny sitting back there, she's the same way. She didn't hear me, and that's good. but none of those attributes bad if we turn them toward God. We need to be stubborn toward God. We need to be stubborn toward the will of God like that. Stubborn toward no fear. I'm not going to fear. And the more that you work on that, God's not going to do it. I mean, Travis just heard of the days that somebody said, God, you know, may God stick my tongue to the roof of my mouth that I won't say the wrong thing. That's stupid. God ain't going to stick your tongue to the roof of your mouth so you don't speak ungodly stuff. That's dumb to even want God to do that. God's like, why don't you bite that tongue? And then you won't be so quick to spit it out. No, we control our words. God ain't going to control our words. God don't want us to be controlled by Him. He wants to allow the Holy Spirit to be in control of what we say. By our mind reading. I don't go around saying I'm weak. Monty said this morning, and I would do good to get it out of your vocabulary too, and I get it out. I've started getting it out at funerals and all of that. And he thinks he has to have his guitar changed too much. So, he just said, sorry about that. I'm sorry about that. I said, don't say that word. I said, what does sorry mean to us? You're a no good, no count. Now, he didn't mean it that way. I mean, he explained it. I said, it don't matter. It means it. That's what the word means. I'm sorry about losing your husband. Are you really sorry? No. I say, I hate to hear that, and I'll be praying for you. Ain't that easy? Ain't that better than, I'm sorry? What am I sorry about? I hate that they lost it. That ain't being sorry. That's being compassionate, right? That's because you love them. You hate it happened to them. Don't call yourself sorry. See, this is not a concept that a lot of churches even say. Why? What does it matter that you say that? The Bible says death and life is in the power of your mouth. And it says that you will eat the fruit of it. You will have the fruit manifest in your life. I called myself fearless. I worked on it. Some people told me one time in worry. See, worry is fear. Worry is fear. If you're worried about your son dying, you're in fear. If you're worried about, World War III starting, you're in fear. If you're worried that Donald Trump ain't going to get in or Kamala ain't going to get in, some of y'all might be for Kamala, so we don't want to offend you. You know, if you're fearful that Kamala's not going to get in, you're afraid, you're worrying. That is ungodly. Worry is a unnecessary strain on your mind. Worry is a unnecessary strain on your mind. Faith is like eating protein. So that when you work out, you build muscle. That's what faith is. Fear is like loading up on, what is it, gluten? Gluten. Gluten. Just eat gluten and cake and all of that. I'm losing weight in the name of Jesus. I'm losing carbs. Just load up on carbs. And then confess that you're losing weight. And we can sure well tell 5 pounds a week. And you do too, because you have to go get a new wardrobe and you can say, I'm still skinny. Well, you're growing. Well, see, that is the way fear is to your spiritual life. Fear, it depletes you spiritually. It drains your faith. It drains your joy. It drains your strength. And that's the way fear does. I don't care what it wraps itself in. Fear of not having enough money to get everybody Christmas. All of us has been there. Midtreacher didn't have nothing, no money to buy anybody 1 year. And my biggest thing was it tried to work on me. How everybody going to think? You're a faith man. You should have more than enough. You go preach it. You go say it. You know. So I shot that fear down. I thought, I don't care what people think. I'll just tell them, you know, it really ain't none of your business. If you got so much, just give me something and I'll buy you something. Be the best gift you ever had. You bought it. Well, you got to combat this garbage, you know, and everything. And so she come up with this. Well, bless God, it's not about all the gifts and all of that. Instead of getting in fear, she decided she's just going to write them all notes. And it ended up when she overcame that, you know, or whatever. We understand not having things in the emotional side, and we understand that. But we also understand that faith is the victory. The Bible says, whosoever is born of God overcomes this stuff. And this is the victory that overcomes this stuff. Even our faith. And our faith is based on the Word of God. If we don't got a foundation of God's Word on things, we're not going to have faith to stand on when the times get turbulent, or even when they're not turbulent. I'm living a lifestyle of faith. I'm in faith. I'm in faith when I got plenty. I'm in faith when I ain't never not got plenty anymore. I used to. I made up my mind a long time ago, and I've told Travis for years, I said, it's dumb for me and you to, and I'm not talking about other folk. I said, it's dumb for me and you to know all of these promises that God made us, that we're the head, not the tail, we lend and not borrow. All of these, we went through the fire and the flood, and men wrote up, but he brought us out to a, I said, it's dumb. It would be dumb for us to know these in here and not go after them. I've told him that. One time I've told him, and I've told God, I am not leaving here without getting the fulfillment of your word, your covenant that you made with me through Jesus, through Abraham. The blessing of the Lord makes me rich. I'm on my way there. You are too. Well, I don't want to have all that money. Oh, you don't even know what you're talking about. I mean, you got a different problem. You got too much, and now you're like, what do I do with all this? We're used to, we're like, boy, when I get this, we'll do this. Oh, you just dream about a pontoon or whatever. Then you get up there where God's richly blessed you with all spiritual blessings, where that you know how to stand in faith and you know how to walk with God. You don't put things before God. I mean, there's people, they get a boat and they quit church. That is stupid. You wouldn't have got a boat if God hadn't have blessed you. God was giving you the desires of your heart. He was giving you things you could enjoy, and you let it become your God. You let it become your guide. You let it become your direction instead of the direction of the Lord. I found out that no money couldn't keep me from doing God's will, not having no money. I found out that not having a car to drive to church couldn't stop me from going to church. I found out, praise God, that there's nothing back under when I was young, thank God for that, that there was nothing that could keep me from the will of God but my own will. Because that's where the cross comes in, is where my will crosses God's will. And I choose God's will. And God even showed me through Jesus that Jesus didn't want to go to the cross. And I mean, I'm reading that, and Jesus is in the Garden of Gethsemane, and he's talking to mine and your Father. He's our Father. And he made a way through Jesus that we could be back in fellowship with our Father that was broken in Genesis. That complete fellowship was broken when Adam gave Satan power. But it was restored back to me and you through the death and the burial and the resurrection of Jesus. And then he sent the Spirit. He sent the Holy Spirit. But he's in the Garden of Gethsemane. And I just always thought, you know, I didn't ever have a thought that Jesus didn't want to do the will of God. And then I'm reading that in there, and Jesus said, Father, if there be any other way, let this cup pass from me. And I thought, man, Jesus didn't want to do that hard road. Jesus didn't want to do the will of God, you know. But he said, but nevertheless, not my will. Not my will. And God spoke to me. He said, when you make up your heart, not my will, not your will, but my will, he said, that's when you got the power to go to the cross. He said, that's when you've got the power to go on the streets. Things got in my way about going on the streets. Things got in my way about going to the jails. I mean, I felt like I abandoned my family on Sunday. I felt like that I put more time in ministry than I did because Ben Teresa did. And God spoke to me. He said, I will put grace on her and it will make her satisfied that you're doing the will of God. I said, oh, I see. I left her here for a week or two, went to Mexico to build a church, and I'm like, oh my goodness. I can't leave my wife. I started thinking, what if somebody goes out there and breaks in and kills her and all of this stuff, you know, because I'm a man, you know. I mean, I take care of stuff. That one time there was somebody outside of my house after I got saved, and I told Teresa, I said, listen, I said, I'm going out. I said, lock the doors. I knew somebody was out there. I didn't know who it was, and they're sitting beside my gas tank. I told her, I said, do not open these doors for nothing. I locked them in. I locked myself out in the dark. And I thought, God is with me. Black God, if God be with me, who can be against me? Ain't got nobody kill me. God's with me. I'm doing the will of God. And I go around and I get aim on them. Hit the gas tank. I mean, I'm fixing to shoot them gas tank and all. I mean, I'm talking about a big propane tank, man. I'm like, well, they are where they are. You know, you're not putting my family in danger, you know. And they heard it click, and they raised up, oh, don't shoot, it's us. And I'm telling you, I uncocked the gun. I took them in, and I lectured them worse than God would. I almost killed them. Praise the Lord. So what I'm saying, but all I'm saying is, you know, that we've got to get all fear out of our life. I wasn't afraid to die. Why? Because the scripture tells Scotty Weston, I don't know about you, but it tells me to be absent from this body is to be present with the Lord. And I would rather be present with the Lord than in this body, if that's so be it the will of God. Well, what I'm saying, see, that those scriptures meditated on. You've got to meditate this stuff. You can't just hear it every now and then and take the preacher's word for it. Get your Bible out and find out if it says it in there or not. I got it down in there, praise God, and I've not feared death in nearly 30 years. I don't fear death. I don't fear dying. I don't fear storms. I don't fear them. I stand against them. Fear won't let you speak boldly against the devil. If you're afraid he's going to do something to you, I mean, you're afraid of him. God, for God's sake, you're not supposed to be afraid of the devil. He's roaming to us a roaring lion. Good. We glad you are. Come on over here. Come on down here and try our church. We don't want to whip you all over and over and over again. Just come on down here and try our church. Try these members. They're getting to where they're bold as a lion. They're not afraid. They're going to fight for the will of God. Come on over here. We need you over here where we can put you in your place where you need to be. You're under our feet. We're going to be the church that maybe sends it out on Facebook. Faithway Christian Center says, I double dare the devil. And he went over there and the whole church will see that he's defeated. He couldn't do nothing over there. Because the Bible says that Satan went to Jesus and he could find no place. Well, if there's no fear then in your life about finances, about your kids, about the storms, about ministry, you get all that fear gone about your marriage, about your kids, your college, your future, your 401, your this, your whatever. Get all of that fear out and put it in that God is your future. God is your source. God is the source of your strength. God. Get all of that out, and then all of these things will come. Because the Bible says, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. That just means His way of doing and being. He said, in all these things, I asked the Lord when I read that one time, I thought, man, does it say all these things? And the Lord spoke to me. I was about 2 years older than the Lord. He said, your car is in there. He said, your house is in that scripture. I thought, well, I don't see it. He said, all these things will be added to you. Things. I read it again, and I'm like, things. I've got to go see if that means things. So I go get a Strong's Concordance. I was talking to a young Christian the other day, and I made a statement about where it says give, and it shall be given. Men will give to your wallet. Bosom. I said, it says bosom. I said, but it says billfold. He said, does it? I said, get you a Strong's Concordance, son. I said, don't just read that Bible, study it. If you're reading and something bosom sticks out to you like it did me, you know, I said, I didn't know God would put money in my wallet. I said, I didn't have no clue that He would. I said, but when I looked that up, I said, years ago, it says purse, wallet, billfold. I mean, and I thought, glory to God, hallelujah. I got to get me a bigger wallet. You know, mine, I'm used to dollar bills, man. I got to get a bigger wallet. So it got me a trifold wallet. You know, so I put 100 here, 100 there, 100 here. I started speaking to it. You're full. I run around the house one time. I know it sounds stupid. I don't care what it sounds like. You know, the Bible says that He uses the foolish things of this world to confound them that are wise. That seemed foolish. I grabbed my wallet, went out in my boxers. Now I run around my trailer and I'm declaring glory to God. My wallet is full. Hallelujah. According to the Bible, I'm blessed going in, blessed going out, blessed in this. Lord, you said seek first the kingdom, and I am. I'm going to church. I'm praying. I'm reading my Bible. I'm forgiving my enemies. I'm loving my enemies. I'm blessing those that curse me. Lord, and you said all these things. I'm involved in the church. You said all these things would be added, and that means my money too, Lord. Thank you, thank you, thank you. I never went after money because I seen in there it says, no man can serve two masters. He'll love the one and hate the other. He'll cleave to the one, you know. And so I made up my mind that they ain't nothing going to master me but the Lord. You know, and so money's never been my God. I went after it before I got saved. I wanted a house. I mean, I'm working hard. I worked three jobs before I was 27. I can't even pay somebody $30 an hour and they're 30 and won't work. Son, I was working for $50 a shift. Not $20 an hour. You know, and so I quit working. I found out that I quit working for a living. And I found out in the Bible that I'm supposed to let God be my source. I'm supposed to let God be my future. I'm supposed to let God be my hope. And let God. And I believe God for everything that I wanted before I got saved. I didn't get rid of that because I wanted a good life. I wanted a good marriage. Now I found biblical promises that I didn't even know was in this Bible, even though I went to churches. I did not know that I could lay hold on things. I did not know that 1 Timothy 6:12 says, fight the good fight of faith and lay hold. I didn't know that you needed to fight. I didn't know that you needed to believe God. I mean, I went to a church that was famous for salvation. I mean, I'm trying to get saved every week. They're preaching it so good. I mean, they're good. They're, you know, I mean, that's, you know. Every week, man, I'm thinking, I'm saved, I think, but I better do it again. I do it again. One was preaching on TV one time, and I thought, well, bless God, I believe I'm saved, but I better do it again. So I got down on my knees in front of the TV. I mean, they're preaching such good salvation messages. Nothing wrong with that. I mean, to the point I'm saved and I want to get saved, you're anointed. I mean, you got some anointing on you, man. You know, but I began to find, I went to this, what I thought was a holy roller church. Holy roller church. It was Faith Restoration up there that we stayed 8 years. I get up there, man, and they got, I mean, we're used to the piano. I fly away, oh glory. Nothing wrong with them. All them hymns. Oh, ship of Zion. I'm going to be on the first ship out of here. Nothing wrong with that. I get up there and all Hollywood's up there. His name was Wade. You know, he just sang and sweet. He cute. And I'm a jealous man. I've come out of the world, but I've still got a lot of the world around me in my thinking and stuff, you know. But I'm like, oh, them drums are ungodly, man. I mean, this can't be God. I mean, they had a praise team, like we do. Had a praise team and all of that. And I'm thinking, these are holy rollers. I told Trish, I said, they're a bunch of them holy rollers, too. These are holy rollers. This ain't church. This is holy rollers. I don't even know what a holy roller was. I picked up that doctrine from some devil. Right? Doctrines of demons. That was a doctrine of demon wherever I got it at. You know? I mean, and then I found out in the Bible, it says on the instruments, Chris. Praise Him on the instruments. I mean, they would say things up there and I'd be like, is that in the Bible? On the stringed instruments. I think that'd be a bass, don't you? Mandolin. Whatever it is, you know. And I'm like, man, this stuff's in the Bible. I've been brainwashed. You know, and then I'm reading the Bible over there. Some preacher, he said, you want God's wisdom? He said, read a chapter of Proverbs every day. Proverbs is the book of wisdom that Solomon wrote. And so I'm reading in there, and I got the Proverbs 10:22, and it says, the blessing of the Lord maketh rich and addeth no sorrow. And I said, what? What's the blessing? I didn't know what the blessing was. I'm reading the Bible, right? Sparks my curiosity. What's the blessing of the Lord? Well, I found out that in my study and my seeking and fasting and asking God, God give me revelation of the Bible. Because honestly, I didn't know who I could believe. I didn't know, you know, I really didn't know. I'd had Christians tell me that reading and meditating on the Bible will brainwash you. I'm serious. And I was like, I don't need to get brainwashed. I mean, that's the way them cults are, you know. That's the way them holy roller churches are. They get brainwashed. And then all of a sudden I thought, man, my mind's been on drugs and all that stuff. I need my brain washed out. I thought if it washes my brain, washes all that away, that'll be a good thing. All this. And so I didn't listen. So I went and I was like, what does that mean? You know, the blessing of the Lord maketh rich and addeth no sorrow. Well, in my study and asking the Lord, seeking the Lord, that's the way you ought to do. The Bible says, seek and you'll find. Knock the door, ask and you'll receive, right? I begin to study it, and it simply is an empowerment that comes from God to prosper. An empowerment that comes from God on me, on you, in you, to be successful in your marriage, in your relationships, in your ministry, in your job, in your careers, in your success. It adds God's power on the natural realm that is God's will in our life. It brings His anointing and His grace and His strength and His ability. I mean, we've been praying for Chris with some of his stuff, and he got some victory over this last week. He's telling me he got victory 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, went on to work. And I'm like, glory to God, he's a man. I mean, us men, we don't have babies, but we have babies and get up and go to work. Teresa's like, I don't think I was in labor 19 hours with Travis. I don't think we're going to work. What I mean is we're greater than the Timex, man. I mean, we've had things come against us. We rise up, we believe God, and He adds His anointing on us. And that's where it comes in, where it says we can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens us. That covenant blessing, we're heirs and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. We are the descendants of Abraham. We're descendants. Jesus came down through the lineage of Abraham. That's why He told him, He said, count the stars, count the sand. He said, and your descendants, which they were well stricken in years. I mean, when He told them this, they're like, there's no way. How are we going to have that many kids? That's what I would have said. God, how in the world is Sarah going to have that many kids, God? I imagine He had to think that. Your descendants is going to be this great and I'm up in my 70s? But you know what? Jesus was in that lineage. He was in the lineage of Abraham. He come on down, praise God, and God fulfilled that. Now Abraham's descendants are what God said they are, and we are part of them. He is the father of our faith. Hallelujah. I mean, he believed God and he gave us a great, astounding account that is left for us about Abraham. That against all odds, that against all things in the natural, he believed God. He counted God as faithful to do what he said he'd do. And the Bible says because of that, it was counted to Abraham for righteousness. And it is us when we believe God. When we're standing and believing God. You got to get rid of fear. Fear. I mean, I've had fear before when Teresa going through, you know, just all of a sudden she gets this vertigo, whatever the garbage was. I mean, she went to total dysfunctional. I mean, she couldn't come and do Sunday school anymore. She couldn't mow the yard anymore. Big yard too, man. I'm like, devil. This is the devil. I'm having to mow the yard. She couldn't go get the supplies for the church. She couldn't drive. I mean, I've seen her get up and fall out in the floor, and you would think she drunk a filth of whiskey like she used to. And I've seen her do that. Her daddy just drunk, pass out, boom, bam. That's the way it reminded me. But I knew that it was none of that. And then I go in, you know, and I mean, I'm fasting for her, and I'm rebuking the devil, and I'm doing my part, you know, and everything, and I'm not going to lose heart. I'm not going to look at her and say it's not working. I'm not going to think it's not working. Why? The Bible says He will keep those whose mind is kept stayed on the Lord in perfect peace because they trust in Him. I know it's a challenge when these things happen, but you can do it because you choose what you think on. You choose what you believe. Believing is a choice. Believing is a choice. Well, I go in, you know, and I get back there in my bedroom. See, God is a faithful God. And I'm changing clothes, taking my clothes off or whatever, you know. And when I come in the house, she said, I'm stuck in this body. I mean, she wants to get up, she wants to do, but her body won't let her. See, that's why we knew it before then, that your body is not you. And so you got to live from within. You got to live from the inner man, the inner leading of the Holy Spirit, you know, and everything. And I get back there, and the Spirit of God spoke to me, the Holy Spirit, he said, tell her to fight. And I thought, oh, praise God. So I go back in there, you know, and believe. Believe me and fight, that's what he said. I go back in there and I tell her, you know, you gotta fight. And her response was quickly right back, I've been believing God. I've been believing God. And I looked at her and I said, well, believing and fighting's two different things. Fighting's different. Satan believes there is a God and trembles. Right? Fighting's different than believing. Fighting is getting up, and you know what? I thought, oh, well, hey, take it or leave it, you know, and you ain't get mad at me. God, get me chewed out here, God. You know, it's God's fault. Tell Him about it. Don't chew me out. I love you, man. If I could help you, I would. You know, God will get you in trouble a little every now and then, but it's good. It's worth it. I go out, you know, and then, you know, see, when you begin to focus on the answer, you get rid of the fear that's holding you bound. Fear that we took her to all the good doctors. They told her they can't help you. They don't know how to help you. It's just not. We went to Birmingham, Huntsville, and all that, you know, and the whole time I'm thinking we're getting robbed left and right. We're getting robbed left and right, you know. Well, anyhow, I come in and I find her, you know, with scriptures everywhere. I find it with preaching on, praise and worship on. I never seen movies on. I never seen anything on. And then she had her medicine that she was taking. It was scripture. Her medicine that she was taking in the morning. Doctor, you go to the doctor and he says, take two of these in the morning. Take one in the evening. You know, don't skip it and go the full course. And, you know, and they want you to do that. Why? Because it ain't going to do you no good if you don't. You take one and wait 3 days. You're not doing any good. And so I seen her in the morning. I seen her in the afternoon. I seen her. It actually really got on my nerves because I'm like, I'm not having to fight like this, but I haven't endured the fight. I came not watching movies and nothing and, you know, disrupted my life a little, Johnny. But that's okay. The Bible says, you know, that we're to be for one another. I got to close. I didn't run out of time. Well, anyway, make a long story short, I come in after about 3 months, and I'm coming up the door, and she meets me at the door and had the keys in her hand. I said, what you doing? I'm like, uh-oh. She said, heal people, drive. I said, oh, my God. I thought, have I got to go? We go out, you know, and she said, I'm driving. I thought, oh, Jesus, thank you for your angels. I'm buckling up. I never buckle up. Back out. I'm sorry if I fall out. I don't ride with drunks. I didn't back under. Last drunk I rode with, and I told him, I said, look, I'm going to get drunk real fast. You know, I'm going to let you drive and all that. So I get me some vodka and orange juice and all that before I got saved. And when I come to myself, we was jumping graveyard things. Headstones, yeah, man. I mean, we're out there doing tailspins in the, and I raise up and I think, am I drunk or what? And so I don't ride with drunks. That's what I'm saying. I do not, you know. And I was going, but I told the Lord, I said, thank you for your angels. Praise God, I get in. I did buckle up, you know, and praise God, hallelujah. But I released my faith for the angels. And you know what? She began to get better and better. If the doctors couldn't do nothing for her, she began to get better and better and better and better to where it got good. She's attacked every now and then, but she slaps that thing back down. Praise God, hallelujah. Why? Because there's no fear there. God loves her. She knows God loves her, and he's able to do abundantly above. So I want to encourage you, if there's any areas in your life that you are fearful or you worry, you better start working on that, because that fear has the potential to take you down. That fear has the potential to take you into bondage where you've been free, hallelujah. And just at anything that comes, praise God. Let's bow our heads. Father, we praise you. And we just thank